There's a New Mexico equivalent to the question, where were you when something big happened? For some of us here in New Mexico, where were you when the space shuttle Columbia landed in southern New Mexico? The entire world got to see that landing 42 years ago today. There was more drama than just the landing. It can now be said that the Northrop Strip was right next to the super secret F-117 Nighthawk stealth fighter. They were doing radar tests on it on the day of the landing. It was covered up. 75,000 people within a small distance to the secret site. Well, more about that in a moment. Michael Swickard here. Welcome to Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Our award-winning Hatch green and red chili, boy, is it good, and I do mean it. It's from locally owned farms in Hatch, New Mexico, the chili capital of the world. It was 42 years ago, earlier this month, that NASA's third space shuttle mission was launched. It was launched from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, where all of the space shuttle missions were launched. In a surprise, STS-3 Columbia then landed in New Mexico on March 30th today, but 42 years ago, because the two other landing sites, Edwards Air Force Base and back at the Kennedy Space Center, they were not really available. The shuttle program had a 30-year life from 1981 to 2011 with 135 missions carrying 355 astronauts from 16 countries into space. While STS Columbia only had two astronauts on board, Jack Lausma and Gordon Fullerton, the orbiter shuttles could have up to 8 astronauts on board, and many of them did. They could carry up to 50,000 pounds of stuff in their payload bay. The International Space Station was built in low Earth orbit with 43 modules and elements carried up to low Earth orbit by the space shuttles, some of them, and also Proton and Soyuz spacecrafts. The first ISS module went up in 1998. First team to live there in the International Space Station arrived in November of 2000. The International Space Station has been continuously occupied for 24 years. Back to 42 years ago today, what the Columbia was doing was showing that all the tests of the systems had made sure a space shuttle mission would work. And because of the adverse weather there in California and Florida, New Mexico got the call to land the shuttle there at Northrop Strip, which later renamed White Sands Space Harbor. It was a gypsum landing strip, 15,000 feet long in the middle, but 10,000-foot extensions on both ends, so when they were coming in, they had a total of 35,000 possible landing feet. This was the only time a space shuttle landed at the White Sands Space Harbor, but the expenditure in southern New Mexico was a great bargain for the space program. How so, Michael? Well, you see, the Northrop Strip was the practice site for all 135 missions where the shuttle pilots, they were in a specially made shuttle training aircraft, a Grumman Gulfstream II, specially made, and it allowed the astronauts to practice the unique maneuvers of landing. And then also they could go up there and check just before a landing of a space shuttle to see how the weather conditions were. The four shuttle training aircraft were at the El Paso International Airport, and I saw a couple of them taking off and landing a couple of times when I was down there doing something else. So even though the space shuttle only landed once, it was available in case of emergency for every mission, and that was good. It was money well spent in New Mexico. Now to the landing 42 years ago. Michael Swickard here, Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company. Hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts. 42 years ago today that the eyes of the world were on southern New Mexico and the landing of the STS Columbia. Much like other things in New Mexico, it wasn't easy. The day of the return from low Earth orbit, the Columbia was supposed to land in California, but the weather there, no, it wasn't good. And so they couldn't go to the Kennedy Space Center, too many clouds and stuff and wind. So they decided to come here. It was hello, New Mexico. But March 29th, with hundreds and hundreds of television and newspaper reporters all in the area, people coming to see it, well, the weather was, how shall I say, putrid. It was terrible. It was dusty and windy, 50 to 70 mile an hour winds and worse. A newsman asked me, how can you stand to live here? And I said, well, listen, buddy, just wait till tomorrow and we'll see if it isn't a sparkling, wonderful New Mexico morning. And that's what it was. It made most people forget the windy day before. Now, STS Columbia Commander Jack Lausma had this to say about having been forced to spend an extra day in space. We enjoyed that extra day in space because it was a great vacation spot. We got a chance to look out the shuttle windows and enjoy being there. Well, early in the morning there of the landing day, 42 years ago today, early in the morning, people were able to enter the White Sands Missile Range from Tularosa, and they were guided to the landing area. Now, there were two problems, which I will explain after the Columbia makes its successful landing. I'll tell you about them later, but those two problems were something to think about. And it was just after 9 a.m. What a beautiful day it was. Just a beautiful day. Well, there was the signature twin sonic booms of the space shuttle landing, which slowed down from orbit. There it is, going 17,000 miles per hour down to stop in a little over 30 minutes. When it got to about 400,000 feet, then it entered the atmosphere. While the crowd cheered, the space shuttle Columbia made a landing, had a chase plane flying along, which went over to Holloman Air Force Base to land. There was lots and lots and lots of pictures taken. And the news reports of the landing were that the United States of America had a transport system which worked. And it did. They had a couple little problems, but they were able to service the Columbia at Northrop Stribb. One little problem for both the Space Shuttle Columbia and the shuttle carrier aircraft. I don't know if you ever saw that 747-100 former airliner. They put kind of a different tail fin on it. Well, they had the problem, which some people have noticed, which is the fine grains of gypsum dust, which covered the Space Shuttle Columbia inside and out. And it did the same thing for the 747. The space shuttle astronaut Charles Bolden, who flew four space shuttle missions, said that when he was on STS-61, remember we're talking about STS-3, when he was on STS-61C, it still had gypsum coming out of everything, and they just could not get rid of it. But I understand it was even more so for the Transporter 747. They never got all of that gypsum out of it. For people who work in the area, those people from Las Cruces and Alamogordo and Tularosa work, that gypsum has an effect upon their automobiles. I'm not telling any stories out of school here, but it drifts down the side panels of your windows and it gets into the lower part of your door panels. And then when it rains, which I know is infrequently here, when it rains, then that water and that gypsum are sitting there next to the inside of your door panel. And in Alamogordo, for sure, there are many cars with rust marks at the bottom of the door panels. And those of us who understand it, we smile when we see it and we go, yep, must have worked out there among all that stuff. There was also a security problem that no one anticipated when Northrop Strip was made for the landing of the space shuttles. Near the landing strip was the test area for the F-117 Nighthawk as to its radar-defeating abilities. They had to put it on a stand and then shine radar at it to see if it reflected. As I understand it, their test equipment had to be covered every time a Soviet satellite came over, and so they were very attuned to satellites, and it was especially having to be covered up during the landing of the Space Shuttle Columbia. And that was really close to where they were doing it. But, well, that's what they did. Michael Swickard here, chanting stories at New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. You can hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts. It's 42 years ago today that the Space Shuttle Columbia landed about 20 miles west of Alamogordo at the White Sands Space Harbor. That was formerly known as Northrop Strip. Lots of people came to see the landing, and there was kind of a good and a bad. Well, the bad was the weather that the day before. It was windy and dusty, typical New Mexico March winds. Now, what the good part was that the people who came, a lot of newsmen, a lot of people, they had to hang around an extra day, which meant they went to the local restaurants. And as several told me, and I've talked to a number of people, they discovered green chili. Hello, they didn't know green chili. Well, now they did. And I've had several tell me that even though they live somewhere else, that started a lifelong love affair with green and red Hatch Valley chili. And I certainly understand that completely. So the Space Shuttle Columbia landed safely, and no one appears to have discovered that the stealth fighter was being tested. But there was one more good thing that could have gone wrong but did not. The entire area, what is the White Sands Missile Range, was established in 1941 as the Alamogordo Bombing and Gunnery Range. And lots of shells were fired from airplanes, 50 calibers and different things, and some of the shells did not explode. Even today, I'm sure there are unexploded shells out there, which is why the Army doesn't allow people to go straight across from Tularosa to Engle, New Mexico, by Elephant Butte. It's a very short distance, 30, 35 miles, but instead they have to go down to Las Cruces and back up to Engle. There is too many unexploded shells out there that you could accidentally step upon. But no one viewing the landing made any contact, and everyone left safely, which is really some of the good news. They've had trouble with people who work on the range accidentally being injured by those shells. So 42 years ago, some people were introduced to green and red Hatch Valley chili. I was asked the other day, have you eaten green and red Hatch Valley chili all your life? I said, not yet, I haven't, but I'm working on it. Of course, that's a good thing to work on. Let's talk about the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. They have a great website. It's called, and you run it all together, freshchilico.com. So freshchilico.com. You can see all of their many products that they can ship to your door. I especially love their blend of red and green chili in a jar. It's mild, medium, hot, or extra hot to meet your taste heat needs. But I want to point out one thing that people have not always noticed. You can buy a yearly Fresh Chili membership, which does a number of things for you. First, you get 20% off every order that you make. Within the United States, you get free shipping. Also, 5% cash back on every order. $10 in store credits upon signing up, and you get easy access to the new flavors, the new drops, members-only products, and priority customer support. So you should check that out. If chili's an important part of your kitchen routine, which it is for me, you can become a Fresh Chili member with a yearly purchase of a membership, and you just do that at freshchilico.com website. Let me tell you about something that the Fresh Chili Company has I find over-the-top great. It's their Salsa Roja. The name of it, if you're in the Fresh Chili website, it is Hatch Jalapeno Salsa Roja. It's inspired by traditional Mexican salsa, creamy and spicy, and what a taste. That's something to do. Now, one thing that happens when people live in our areas, they can come by the Fresh Chili Company gift shop. It's at 1160 El Paseo Road, Suite D7. And that's in Las Cruces. It's open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come by the Fresh Chili Company's gift shop. There's a big sign over the entrance that says Fresh Chili Company. I even give tours sometimes. So if you want to do a tour, email ahead and you'll be able to do a tour. This is Michael Swickard with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, brought to you by the Fresh Chili Company. Thank you for your time today. We'll always have lots of news and stories about New Mexico for you on these podcasts. If you have something or someone you want me to talk about, write to me, michael@freshchilico.com. michael@freshchilico.com. Have a great rest of your day. Oh, yes, and eat plenty of that good Hatch Valley chili. Like I always say, some chili is good, more is better, as long as it's Hatch Valley chili. Bye for now.